You know, I'm 63 years old, moving towards 64, and I'm just learning how to worship. And hopefully, I will never stop learning or take any type of, put it in park for a while. Because worship is what our lives are about. You know, worship is not something we do. Worship is the attitude of our hearts. It literally means to bow down. Is your heart bowed before God? Then you are a worshiper. And it should be reflected in everything you do. And we call this a worship service. And a lot of times people think that the worship part is the singing. But it's all worship. That's why we call our greeting worship. Because celebrating each other, focusing on one another, loving one another. If you remember the Lord's Supper, Paul said, you're not celebrating the Lord's Supper because you don't see the people sitting around you while you're celebrating. That is part of our worship. It's part of understanding we're part of the body of Christ. And we come to this part in the worship service. This is not the part where what we're getting is some information now. This is a part where we come, we have thanked God, we have praised God, and now hopefully if you have worshiped God, and what that means is that you have been engaged in what's happening. When you are singing the songs, you are singing them to God. You are praying to God and adding on your thoughts and what's in your hearts to God about whatever he's putting on your heart or what the word is through. It's not about singing the song. It's not about the emotion of the music. It's about, are you being still and opening up your heart to let God reveal himself to you and let praise and gratefulness flow out towards him? If that is the case, you are ready now to worship by listening to God. And the words I'm speaking, they can be academic words that you take notes on, that you study, that you think about, or your heart can be holy, letting the Holy Spirit make those words of God come alive to you. And you hear God speaking. Then you're worshiping. And that's what this worship service is about. It's about a little picture of what our daily experience of worship with God should be. We come to him with gratefulness. We recognize who he is. We praise him. We realize there's nothing in this world worth anything greater than him. And so we want to hear from him and obey him. We want to honor him. And so he speaks to us. If that's not our heart, he doesn't speak to us because we're not going to do it anyway. He's trying to get us to go back to step one. And the worship service is a picture of that, and it's a time where we come together, and it's easier if you will let yourself to experience what God wants you to experience alone. Because you're surrounded by people who are trying to experience the same thing. That is what our worship service is about. Now I'm going to start this section of our worship out a little bit differently. Usually I don't ever have a video, but I've got one I like. And so I'm going to play it. I don't believe there's any speaking in it, so you have to read it. But I want you to be thinking and ask God, even as you're right here, just like when we're worshiping in that song, and as you're singing, you're thanking God, or you're asking God to reveal himself, just in your own heart right now, just ask God to speak to you through what you see and what you hear. How many of you want the treasures that God has for you that go forever, that no one can take away, that make your life full and rich and worthwhile? How many of you, that's what you want? That's what we're seeking. It's what we want in life. Nothing will substitute what God created our hearts to desire, which is completeness. You know, I had an interesting discussion with somebody, I think, in a small group sometime last week. And we were talking about the will of God. And we were looking at that prayer where Paul is praying that you would know the complete will of God. And they were thinking, well, how can you know the complete will of God? Well, I can tell you what the complete will of God is. Jesus told you what the complete will of God is. It is God's will that you believe. And that includes you understanding the reality of the truth that God is never going to reveal to you the things that only His mind can comprehend. You are never going to know what's in the hearts of other people. You are never going to know how circumstances are going to evolve. You are never going to know what's going to happen to you 3 weeks or 6 weeks from now. God never promises to tell us any of that because that is beyond our comprehension to hold all of those things and all of the people that we interact with and what's in their hearts and what they need and what needs to happen to take place for people we're not even thinking about who are really involved in those plans. For God to work in their lives. God knows we can't comprehend that stuff. He gives us His word as a light for the next step. And God's will for you is that you trust Him. That you trust Him that He is in control. That you trust Him and worship Him because He is here and He is working. And that you know that if you are faithful to Him and you avail yourself to follow Him, He will guide you, and He is working all things together for good because you are called, and you're following the call. And so He is able to work those things out in your life. All the Sermon on the Mount is about the heart. It's not a new set of laws. It's not a higher set of laws. It's not a higher standard of rules that we follow. It's a picture of the heart. And what it's doing is it's speaking to us, and Jesus is saying, look, I know you have a human nature. I know that you were born a sinful human being. You didn't seek God. You didn't put God first. You weren't interested in God. You were interested in yourself. But Jesus Christ, because of His death and resurrection, His sacrifice for you, somehow your eyes were opened to realize that God sees you. He cares about you. Jesus died for you. God will forgive you. He will accept you. He's brought you into His kingdom. He has adopted you into His family. He has made you His child. He has connected with you. And there is nothing in this world which will fade away that compares to that. And you see and you know, and now you want Him. But that's a gift from God. Your faith, the wisdom God gives you, that's a gift. It's not because you're smarter than everyone else in the world. You're the same as everyone else in the world. If the Holy Spirit had not intervened in your life and you had not responded, you would not be here. You would not be seeking God. You would be somewhere else. It is the grace of God that allowed us to be here. We are here because of His mercy and because of His grace. And what Jesus is doing is He's saying, okay, you've started this journey and you want to be like God, but you're not yet. There's a lot of changing in the way you think for you to be thinking like God does. There's a lot of changing in the things you want and the things you value if you're going to be right in line with God. And so these things come to expose to us things in our life, not that God wants to point out and condemn us for, because there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's not so that we will feel bad about ourselves. Our sins have been paid for. It's because God wants to help us take a step and grow to be one step closer to Christ, and we believe that if God has done all the things He's done to get us this far and to change who we are and change our hearts to get us this far, He'll get us the other part. And so I want to be convicted. I want God to point out to me things in my attitudes and things in the way I think that need to change if I want to be closer to Him. And it's not a threat, because I know it's done in love to help me grow. It's not a condemnation to say, well, you weren't as good as you thought. It's something that helps us move forward. And so these sayings of Jesus, they are difficult, because what they do is they expose what's really in our heart. And sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit to change us, to make us Christ-like, can be painful. How many of you would agree with that? And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes I didn't realize how strong my human nature was until God points out what I have to let go of. That becomes a little bit difficult, doesn't it? But God is doing it for my good. So we're going to take a look at the words of Jesus right here. Jesus talks a lot about this. He does, because it's very difficult for us. But Jesus now moves from where he was after telling us what the attitude of a true believer is, after telling us the attitude we have to have in order to approach God and to pray in line with his will. And now Jesus says this. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Let me read that again, because that doesn't sound too good to me. How about you? Why would Jesus say this? This is a command. He's not saying, hey, it'd be better if you, you know, kind of diversified your portfolio. Jesus says this. Here's a command. Do not store up treasures on earth. Now, why would Jesus say that to us? Why is that important? Now, if we want to just go over the surface of it and not hear what Jesus is trying to say, then I can preach a sermon like most people do, and we can come up right here and we can say, okay, Jesus said this, now let's qualify that with all the reasons and all the other scriptures and balance this out about what Jesus is not really saying. And so we try to justify how we approach wealth, but we never really even listen to what Jesus is really trying to say. Jesus is saying, do not store up your treasures in heaven. Do not store up your treasures in heaven. Well, what's a treasure? Well, that makes a huge difference in what Jesus is trying to say, doesn't it? You know what a treasure is? It's something you value. It's something that you think is important. It's something that you want. It's something that you'd be willing to go on an adventure and seek for. It's something that if you had, you think would be the solution to your problems. It's something that you put up as very, very important. You treasure it. A treasure is not something out here. A treasure is something in here. One man's trash is another man's treasure. In the Bible, that would be a true statement. Because it's not the object that makes it a treasure. It's how I view it. And Jesus is saying, do not lay up treasures on earth. Because you can't have treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. This is one of the hard sayings of Jesus Christ. We want to try to make it to whereas we can have treasures on earth and treasures on heaven because we're going to handle our treasures on earth in a biblical way. Well, okay, that's good. How's that working out for you? Because you missed the whole intent of what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is saying, look, I'm looking at your heart. I'm not looking at the stuff you have. All that is going to be gone soon anyway. All of that stuff in your hands, it's a tool. It's not really a treasure. If you think it's a treasure, we're not communicating, it's going to be really hard for me to lead you. I want to give you true treasures. I can't give it to you if you can't recognize what they are. And so Jesus continues and he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That is everything material in this world. You buy a brand new car and it's really exciting. But 15 years later, it's a piece of junk. Every car's like that. I mean, unless you're a real good restorer, but then you've got to invest. You've got to put energy. You've got to put time. You've got to be working on that thing to maintain it, to keep your possession. But eventually, it's going away. When is it going away? As soon as you don't have the money, the resources, the time, and the effort to put into it, because it won't stand. And if your treasure is on anything like that, you're going to end up eventually with a piece of junk. And so Jesus is talking to us about our hearts, and he's saying, man, you can't just look with physical eyes out here. Open up your eyes to see the spiritual reality. Are you building your life, and are you storing up? Are you working for? Are you spending energy and time? Are you thinking about things that are going to end up to be a piece of junk and disappoint you? Are you trading those for things that will last forever? Things that give you a fullness of life, no matter what's in your hands. So don't store up things that are going to fade away. Here's the first question I want to ask you. Are your treasures being consumed in or by perishable endeavors? In other words, all the things that you're working for, all the things that you're spending on, all the things that you're building, all the things that you are piling up. If you go look at your garage, is it full of things that at one time you thought were going to make you happy, but now you wish someone would come and clean out? What are your treasures being consumed by? Because everything we got, if we're not pouring energy into maintaining it, it's falling apart, including our relationships. What are your resources being consumed by? This is getting more to the point of what God would want us to see, because once I realize what a treasure is, then I start to realize that everything in my hand is perishable, and everything in my hand doesn't really belong to me because I can't keep it. And everything in my hand is a resource or a tool God has given me in order to invest in real treasure, to buy the things that last eternally. So, what are your resources going towards? If you were going to take an honest evaluation of yourself, where you've spent your time, where you've spent your talent, where you've spent your treasure, what has it bought you? That's the question Jesus is asking. He asks hard questions. He asks hard questions because he knows that when you get to the end of your life is going to depend on how you answer that question, whether you like it or not. You can't pretend that's not reality. You can't pretend that this world will give you what only God can give you. We know and we say only God can give us that, but you can't live your life where you say, this is what I believe, but we all look at you and know this is what you believe because this is what you do. This is where you invest. This is what you've built. As a matter of fact, when you look over at the things God wants to do, the things that God wants to give you, the blessings that God wants to give you inside, you can't understand how people really have them. That's what happens when we walk out into the world and they don't understand how we can really have faith, how we can really have joy, how we can really have peace. They think we got to be faking it because they don't have any, because they don't understand where it comes from. Jesus is quoting here from Isaiah. There's no new truths that come in. The difference is the disciples could look at Jesus and the way he lived, and they understood he knew where the treasures were, and they could see the difference in his life by treasuring and investing in eternal things, what it gave him and what it did. But everything we have, even ourselves, this physical body, now you're going to live forever. That part of you that can't be touched, that part that feels, that part that thinks, that part that's conscious, that science can't figure out what it is, that's going on forever. And there's something inside of people, all people that know, there's got to be more than this life, because this life, this body contains something that can't be explained by this world. We exist, and we're going to exist forever, but this body's not. Those of us who are older already have the evidence of that, don't we? God is reminding us every day of how fragile our bodies in this world is, because it's not just the flower that's falling apart. It's just not the car that's getting rusty. It's just not the thing that I bought that used to work and I let it sit in the garage for 2 years and then no one even touched it and I pulled the thing and it breaks off. What happened to it? It's not just that. It's my body. Everything is falling apart. All men are like grass, and all the greatness of this world is like a flower in the field. It looks good for a moment, but it won't last long. It withers and it falls. Are you cooperating with God in the use of your time, your talent, and your treasure? That is the question Jesus is asking. Because when we go before God, we will be judged and we will have to settle accounts. And he will give to every man according to his works, not just in heaven. Do you know everybody's not going to experience heaven the same way? You read through the Bible and you read how Jesus pictures heaven. Everyone does not experience heaven the same way. We don't even have the same positions in heaven. Now, I believe people will grow in heaven just like they do in earth. And I believe we'll still, I don't know, but I think we will still grow in heaven and things like that. But one thing is for sure, people will not be the same in earth and they will not experience. Do you know that people do not experience Christianity the same way here on earth either? Do you know there are some people that in their relationship with God, they can hardly stop and be still without the emotion welling up in their heart of gratitude? Every Christian does not feel that. Why don't every Christian experience God that same way? Well, Jesus is telling us right in here. He's telling us right in here, and he's telling us you need to take a look at where you are investing yourself, because where you invest, it is going to bear the fruit of where you invest it. If you're investing it in your worldly reputation, what are you going to do when this world is gone? If you're investing it in a person who is a human being, what are you going to do when they're gone? If you're investing it in a big house or you're investing it in a car, or what are you going to do if a tornado comes by? What are you going to do when you spend all your money to get that big house and your wife wants to divorce you and take the kids? What are you going to do when it doesn't fulfill you? Why did God give you the personality, the talents, the time, the strength, and the possessions that you have? What are you using them for? Where's your money going? Some of us, to be honest, this is where a lot of it's gone. I can go in my garage and open up the door, and I can tell you this is where a lot of my money went. Right now, I'd like to pay somebody to take some of it and throw it away. That's how valuable it is. At one time, I spent money on it. Is that where we want at the end of our lives? Is that how we want to feel about what we've been given by God? He goes on in verse 20 of Matthew 6 and he says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." That's really important. The things that God wants you to invest in, no one can take away from you. No one. You know, I'm looking here at Ian, and I remember when God gave you hope, when God gave you peace, when God gave you a purpose, you looked at me and you said, "I don't care where I'm headed right there. I'm not trying to get out of it. I know God is going to take care of me. And I know this prison cell is my seminary where I'm going to learn how to live the full life. It's where God's going to give me all these great gifts." That's understanding that what God gives you, no one can take away. It's a good feeling, isn't it? It's a good feeling to know that God finally has opened my eyes to where I need to spend my time and my energy and my efforts and how I need to look at and value life. And because of that, I'm filled with things no one can take away, not even a prison cell. No one can take it away. Store up your treasures in heaven. There are a lot of Christians who don't even know what that means. They're thinking, how do you store up treasures in heaven? What are treasures in heaven? Where is your treasure? If you were going to honestly look at your life and say, what do I think about? What do I want? What am I pursuing? What is it that I really value in this life? What is it? Jesus is telling you that if your treasure is not God, if your treasure is not worshiping the one who really provides and gives you all things, the one who knows everything that you need, and he also knows what you don't need and what is not a good road to go down. If we don't see that, if that's not our treasure, we're not going to have pockets full. What is your treasure? You know, I had a conversation with a man this week, and we were sitting there and we were talking about different things, and he just told me, you know, the other night I was sleeping, and I've had some things that you know, I'm trying to do what God wants me to in this area and with these relationships, and you know, things I don't know exactly what God is trying to do, and I've been praying about it, and I've been searching the Word, and 3 o'clock in the morning, it's like God just woke me up. It's like the Holy Spirit just woke me up, and all of a sudden, I could see through His Word, I could see the answers to how I need to view the situation, what I need to just falling in place in my mind. And He said, you know, I knew it was God revealing it to me. And He said this, there is nothing in this world that is better than being in the presence of God. That's a person who knows what the treasure is. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to tell us that if we don't see and seek that treasure, if we seek that with all our heart, we will find it. But if we're not seeking it, you will not experience it. You just won't experience it. God's not going to make you have all the gifts of heaven when you are pursuing something different. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's why you come each week. Because deep down inside of you, your treasure is Christ. And you want to be with Him, and you want to know Him, and you want to grow. You want to find Him. You want to find the things that God has for you. And if you seek that treasure, you'll find it. And the closer you get and the more of it you possess, the more it's all you want. People who seek after money, how much is enough? There's never enough, right? Somebody who wants cars and something like that, they never have enough. There's always another car they want. It's the same way with God. If you seek after God, the more you have of Him, the more you want of Him. The more you see how much He loves you, the more you want to love Him. The more this world and the pull and the temptation of it falls away. It's the only way to overcome temptation. We can't do it with willpower. We do it by the power of knowing God. You know, I had an experience with a man, and this is a great example because what I'm speaking to you is a basic truth, and if you are a Christian, I will guarantee you this. The Holy Spirit is telling you that's the truth. If you're sitting here and you're listening to this, and it's going in one ear and out the other ear, then you don't have God telling you what truth is. Now, it may be a hard truth that shakes us, because we have a human nature. These are hard things to think about because it means submitting ourselves to God a little further, which is always giving up control, which is hard for us, right? But we know what the truth is. We can't have God and have the world. But the world is always telling us we can, and we would like to believe it. And a lot of us are surrounded by people that live that way, and it becomes the norm. And sometimes you have Christian people who are struggling to live the way God wants them to, and He's actually given them eternal treasures, but their mindset is so worldly that they can't even see it. And so the motivation to keep going gets robbed from them because their thinking is distorted. And I'm just going to give you a story of a perfect example of that. I was in a group one time, this was years ago, And there was a man in that group that I had known. And this man was a faithful servant of God. He had grown up in a very, very, very poor section of town. He had a high school education. He found Christ as he was older. He married, had children, never able to really easily provide for them the things of this world, and always struggled, but somehow was able to raise two children that loved the Lord, that wanted to follow the Lord, ministering and loving others. One of them married a pastor, I believe, and he adopted, I don't know if he officially adopted, but he brought in one of his son's friends whose family had fallen apart, and he raised him as his son. And he has children that love him. He's got a wife that loves him and is faithful to him. He has gone out and done the best he could, befriending and sharing Christ with people, and have brought people in. He never had ever on his own set and prayed for someone to receive Christ. But he had brought, I don't know how many people, because of his friendship and bringing them in to be in a Bible study and to be around, he was a part of the mix that actually was the glue that brought someone to accepting Christ. He's got all kinds of eternal things. And he was sitting in that group, and he was saying, "Man, I want to finish paying for my kid to go to college, and I just don't. He has to work this full time job and go to college. It's so hard. And he's thinking, my life is so hard. You know, I'm trying to serve God as much as I can, and I look around at the wicked, and they got it so easy. They just pay for their kids to go to college. They can give them a house or give them a car when they get, you know, He's feeling sorry for himself. And it's sapping the joy that God wants to give him. And I listened to that, and I just said, I don't understand what you're saying. And I just recounted the things that I recounted with you. And I said, you're the richest man I know. Who would want more than what you have? And he just stopped, and he thought about it, and he thought, no one. And I said, what would you trade to have the money to send your kid to college? Which one of these gifts would you trade for that? None of them. And all of a sudden, he just started to realize that God, as he sought him, had given him all the things in life that mattered. And it's not worth worrying about the things that don't. You can work a full-time job and go through college and be okay. I know people sitting in this room who've done it. I'm looking at one of them. And you can be close to God, and you can have everything that God wants you to have. God wants to help you invest in his eternal kingdom. He wants you to have the treasures. Jesus is trying to tell you this. If you don't know what the treasures are, you're never going to have them. If you spend all your time and all your energy trying to get something that's not a treasure, then you're not going to end up with them. So I'm asking you, what do you do with one of your most valuable possessions, your time? Where is that going? How much of your time is really fulfilling the Lord's prayer that says, your kingdom come, your will be done? You are spending time and energy to make sure that you are doing and helping others find and do what God wants them to do. I mean, I know people who have raised their kids in a Christian home, and they have not spent any time on that. Any time at all. What about your talent? The talents God gives you, that you get praise for, that when you do things, people say, wow, good job. Man, you are good. You know, all those things that you can get some momentary blessing from. How much of that talent is used to point to Christ? How much of that talent is used to bring other people? How much of that talent do you use for your own glory? And how much of that talent do you use as a tool to connect other people to God? You want the real treasures of life? They're all are wrapped up in love. And you know what people love? They love you when you made an eternal difference in their life. They know they love you when you've helped set them free. They love you when they have found freedom in Christ and you were a part of it. And here's the other one, the treasure. And I'll tell you, this is the one that reveals your life. This is why Jesus speaks more about money than anything else. Because here's the normal Christian. I'll give my time, I'll give my talent, but my money is mine. My treasure goes to buy things that give me pleasure, that make me feel good, that give me status, that keep me secure. And I'm just telling you, that's why Jesus points it out. Because if your treasure, if you've got a tight fist on your money, if you say, I'll give God every part of my life except the material things, except money and the things it will buy, I will just tell you this, you already got your treasure in your hand. And life will reveal how fragile it is. And you won't experience God the way you see some others experience it. Because God is not your treasure. Christ is not your treasure. When you think of the crucifixion, it doesn't move you. When you think that the God of the universe came down and became a human being so that you as a human being who are a speck of dust could know him, and that he died to pay for your sins, that he went to that extreme so no matter what you've done and no matter how much you say, you know what, no one could forgive me for what I've done, you could look over there and say, well, I guess someone would, God would. If you see that and you don't think, why do you see me? Why do you love me? Why do you want to be involved in my life? Why do you want to connect with me? If you don't have God as your treasure, you are not going to experience the eternal gifts God wants to give you. And that's just how it is. And that is the message that God is trying to give us. What makes you a wealthy soul? What makes you a wealthy soul? Are you setting your heart on what matters most? Don't waste your life. Treasure Christ above all things. Because what Jesus is telling us is this, is God wants to give you the treasure. He wants to give you the treasure of his presence in your life. And if you want it, you can have it. But if you think there's something else that's better, and you're not going to take the time to take a hold of it and pull it in because you've got something else that you want to pull into your life that's more important and you think is better, then that's the treasure you're going to get. That's the treasure you'll get. So we're going to take just a moment here. And I want you just to close your eyes. And I want you to pray. And I want you to let God speak to your heart. And I want you to respond to him however he pulls you. If God wants you to pray, then pray. If you feel God moving you to do something else, then you do it. You want to pray at this altar? Just come on down. Unless you come to me, I'm not going to bother you. You want to pray where you are? Do that. But don't let these few minutes escape without God pointing his finger at the obstacle he wants you to remove to get close to him. Father, there is nothing more important to us than having you in our lives. We need you to speak to us. We are so easily confused, so easily distracted, so easily deceived into thinking that things are more important than you are. And Father, when you come into our presence and you speak to our heart, we realize how lost without you we really are. Without your guidance, without your direction, without your spirit leading us, without your Spirit opening our eyes to what is really the treasure of life, the presence of Christ in us, the value of your love. We will waste our lives away on what we know will turn out to be nothing. We need you. And we don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to hold on to any treasure that robs us from what you want to give us in your presence. The fullness of joy, the fearlessness of faith, the peace that passes all understanding, that can't be known but can be experienced. We want to see that you're not only the way maker, you're the miracle maker. You are the one that gives us light in the darkness so that we don't follow the crowd and just waste our life away and destroy ourselves and destroy our family and lose all the things that we love. We need your help. We want your help. And so we lay our lives before you and we ask you to speak. We ask you to give us the courage and the faith to follow. And we ask you to give us the values that are true and real. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you speak in our hearts. And we thank you that you work in our hearts because we can't follow without you enabling us. So we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.